Alleluia. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. No, there are new seasons. I was just reminded again of an old man who said something like that everyone who keeps talking about that Jesus is coming back soon, he said he does for them. Okay, and that, first time I heard, I thought it was a joke, jokingly. But the thing is that if you remember, there's a story about when Jesus ascended to heaven, and then they actually believe he's coming back. He's just going up and coming back again. And then the angel said to the disciples, "Why do you keep looking up in the sky?" Because of what the point was, don't be focused upon that. Be focused upon here. Okay, heaven will come, but you can be so what can I say, focused upon what is not important, that it becomes some kind of virtual thing that is that instead of facing realities, you're actually denying the realities. Okay, we in the Christianity is always to do with that they have seen that they have been with Jesus. It's not about that they have heard that you've been with Jesus. No one cares about our opinions, our theological things, that we mean this, that, and the other. What we care about is, have you met Jesus? Is Jesus a philosophy in your life, or is Jesus a reality in your life? And it's something that is so important that we, in especially in our culture, because in our culture we worship the brain. Everything we do in our society, we worship the brain. Everything is intellectual, and we're thinking that if I intellectually know the Bible, that is equal to that I also know Jesus. But you can intellectually know the Bible without knowing Jesus. Just like you can, when I read if I read a biography about a person, I can theoretically know that person. But if I met that person walking down the street and I said hello, he will probably think, who is he? Okay, and many people who call themselves Christians, they have that kind of relationship. They know a lot about Jesus. They can talk a lot about Jesus, but they cannot talk from Jesus. Okay, and the New Testament talks about that if any man talks, he should speak as the oracle of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, and it's so important we understand this thing. That's why that so many people who talks about end time, this, that, and the other, they go completely wrong because we're thinking it's about unravel information. No, you have to understand prophetic in the New Testament is not like prophetic in the Old Testament. God does not need an Elijah. God does not need an Elisha. Okay? He needs you as a believer, as a child of a living God. And in the prophetic, we see an insight to it that when Jesus, he says to the disciples, John the Baptist, he is the greatest of all the prophets. No, now you have to understand all the prophets. This is Moses who wrote the first five books of the Bible. David, Elijah, Elisha, Samuel, you can name them all. And when Jesus say he is the greatest of them all, and he's somewhere in the backside of the desert, eating weird food, living in the desert, okay? And most people probably said something has gone wrong because he was of the lineage of the Levites. His father was Zechariah, who was working in the temple. And yet now this guy who was supposed to also work in the temple, he's in the backside of the desert. And when Jesus says he's the greatest of all the prophets. And what is the reason for he doesn't do any miracles? Okay? He doesn't do any signs and wonders. The only thing we hear, he baptized people. That's why he's called John the Baptist. Great revelation. What did John the Baptist do? I don't know. He baptized. Amen. But what he did was that when Jesus came, he said, "See, there is the Lamb of God." And that's why he's called the greatest prophet of all. That's what prophecy is in the New Testament. He reveals Jesus to the people. Everyone else around him, they thought Jesus, this is Jesus of Nazareth, this is Jesus, Joseph and Mary's illegitimate son. Yeah, we know Mary is the mother. We also know Joseph is not his dad, and so on. You know, that's why the Pharisees says to Jesus, "We know who our dad is." Okay? So, but he says, "See, there is the Lamb of God." And that's what it means to be prophetic today. Prophetic is not that, oh yeah, so something happens, oh, now there's a red moon, or now there's this, that, and the other, and, you know, and now this means this, that, and the other. No, this is completely imaginations. Okay, this is nothing to do with the gospel. Okay, you know, being prophetic is you reveal Jesus. So when you meet someone in a whatever situation, you, oh, Jesus, come back soon. Just hold on. You're going to be raptured soon. So just endure the pain until he comes. No, that's not being prophetic. Okay? It is, being prophetic is to reveal Jesus. And I think that what, where we misunderstand it in our culture is that when we hear reveal Jesus, we are supposed to inform about Jesus. But it's not, that's not the same. It's revealing Jesus. Okay, we many of the ways we're thinking without us realizing is actually we are adapting the way we think in the world, and now we Christianize it and thinking now this is Christianity. For example, we're thinking if we can just build a big church, then everything will just change. I'm telling you, in Bradford, there's one of the biggest churches in UK. Okay, but look around you. I met a missionary from Switzerland many years ago, and his calling was to start churches in North India. So I said to him, you're in the wrong place. North India is Bradford. You see, Chicago, there was a big church in Chicago. There's a big group of people who have information about Jesus. But it's not the information, it's the revelation of Jesus that transforms. Okay? Remember when Jesus, he talks about, it's not even a parallel, where people say, at the end, when we meet him, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And when Jesus, he said this thing, I never knew you. And what that word knew means is only used once before in the Bible, that word. This is when Adam knew Eve, meaning he wants to be one with you. That's why we are called this whole, we have a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not, as I said, we are not the holiday home of the Holy Spirit. He wants to dwell with us permanently, and it is he who's in us that is greater than he who's in the world. Okay, it's not our intellect that is greater than in the world. It's not our natural strength or natural gifts, but he who is in us who is greater than he who's in the world. And when we yield to him, this is an old word, but when we trust in him, doing what he says that we should do, despite of what our common sense, you know, a lot of people think wisdom is common sense. No. There's a lot of wisdom is to hear what God said, despite of what you see. Many of times, common sense is of the devil. Remember when, remember when Peter had the revelation, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then a few verses later on, Jesus, he talks about his crucifixion. And what did Peter do? He rebuked him. No, don't. That was common sense. Why do you want to go to Jerusalem? They're going to kill you. You just told us they're going to kill you. And now you're going to Jerusalem. So he was trying, what was he doing? It was common sense. What did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Pope. No. He said, get behind me, Satan. Have you ever, I caught myself in saying sometimes, and it's wrong, when we say, oh, I'm only human. No, this is what Jesus is addressing. Peter was, from a natural point of view, which was common sense, the wisdom is that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. Wisdom is, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How can you explain that? I can't. Wisdom says, when I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. Wisdom is that I believe that when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I am a new creation, despite of what I see in the mirror. That's wisdom. That's faith. And this is where we have to learn to live by, not by where we fitting some pieces from the kingdom of God into our old life. So, no, everything that you knew before is secondary to what you're going to know now. Amen. It's so important that when you make decisions, you do it according to what the Bible says, not according to what does my common sense says. Well, you know, most of the things you and I, we are asked to pray for, in the natural, it looks impossible. In the natural, it's, and wisdom will say to us, oh yeah, but you know what, maybe we can do this, manipulate a little bit here, manipulate a little. No, don't, just hold on. If God says it, that's it. You know, I heard, you know, 2 weeks ago, there was a great man of God who's gone home to be with Jesus, a man called Jerry Seville. And I followed his ministry ever since I became a Christian. But one testimony, and I never always amazed me about it, that when he was a young minister, his daughter, she was just a little girl in the nursery. And I heard the testimony many times, but when I saw the daughter, now she's about 52 years old, or so 54 years old, the daughter. But in the nursery, in a meeting, she was in the nursery, and she, in one way, got her hand trapped underneath a rocking chair, and the fingers got cut off, you know, the outer part of it. And now the young Jerry Seville and Kenneth Copeland, now what are you going to do? The doctor said it's impossible. He basically just took the stumps of food in the bin. And when Jerry Seville dug it out again, said, no, I believe God. Now I saw her, she was sharing the testimony a week or two ago at a memorial service. And she even got her nails. But most Christians that I know of in that kind of situation, they will withdraw into so-called common sense and call it wisdom. Yeah, because of what do we say in the world sometimes? Don't get your expectations too high because you might get disappointed. But God is not the one who is disappointing. Amen. In Hebrews 11:6, and this is something that I learned from Lester Sumwalt, that I used to preach Hebrews 11:1, and then Hebrews 11:6, but Lester Sumwalt said that you should read verse 6 first. Okay? So he says here, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, you know, you have to understand, in other religions, the way you please God, their God, is through their deeds. No, you have, you know, in other religions, you please God through your deeds. You know, even with Jewish people, because of I asked the Jewish person, what do you do now? Because there's no temple, which means there can be no sacrifices. If there's no sacrifice, there can be no redemption. Because there is no redemption without a blood sacrifice. So they introduced something that they, instead of sacrifice, we should do good deeds. Okay? And now I'm nothing against that you're doing good deeds, okay? But don't make you believe that grants your favor with God. Only your faith, your trust in him, basically. You know, when the Bible talks about faith, it doesn't talk about, do I believe? Believe. No. Do you trust God? Amen. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? You know, without trusting him, you cannot please him. Can you imagine someone came up to you and said, I don't trust you. You will not be too pleased. That's how you should see it. But if someone says to you, I trust you. Ah, you trust me. Amen. Your mother-in-law comes up, Estella, I trust you. You know, can you see what that does? If someone comes to you and say, I trust you, it does something inside of you. Just like if you go and say to someone, it's never said in a positive way, is it? If someone say to you, I don't trust you, but I like you. Huh? You know, Christianity is full of contradictions, isn't it? Some Christians say, I forgive you, but I never forget. Okay. But the thing is, that's the kind of fate we're talking about. But in Western culture, we degraded this thing or misinterpreted that word fate is as in terms of application, that if I agree, we think is fate. Do you understand? It's a difference. No, because you agree doesn't mean you are in fate. Because fate has to do with relationship. Agreement has to do with opinions. When I became a Christian, I was a contradiction. Because of when people found out I had become a Christian, the next thing they said to me was, so you believe in the Bible? So I said, I don't know, I've not read it. But the few things they mentioned to me, say, do you agree with that? I said, no. But have you met Jesus? I said, yes. But of course, the more I spend time with, you know, you can meet a person and disagree, but the more you get to spend time with that person, you start changing your mind. Why? Because you start understanding that person. Amen. And it's the same thing with the Bible, that we are taking it the wrong way around, that we're thinking that the more I agree with Jesus, the closer or the better I know him. No, you can know about him, but the purpose is not to know about him, the purpose is to know him. Amen. It's not bad that you know things about him, but it's not the goal. Theology actually means the knowledge about God. But Christianity is that we shall know him. We shall, you know, what is it? We shall be one with him. Amen. So, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But when you have met Jesus, it's impossible not to trust him. Faith is not difficult, but when you have met him, it's impossible not to trust him. Amen.
Oh, you don't agree with that?
So you've not met him, man? Can you imagine Jesus, he shows up, all your hairs will turn white? That's my hairs, you know. And then he said, Kurt, do this. Yeah, of course. No, when you have met him, it's impossible not to trust him. But Western Christianity have made this thing is some kind of difficult effort that I have to do. Oh, I have to stay in faith. I have to stay in faith. I have to stay in faith. No, you could do, no. Can you imagine you have to say, I have to be a Filipino. I have to be a Filipino. Well, how do you have to stay a Filipino? How do you do that? No, you are by birth. Amen. Amen. So I need 3 bowls of rice every day because I have to stay Filipino. Amen. But this is how faith may often be. I have to stay in faith. I have to stay in faith. Are you born again? Yes. You are in faith. Amen. That's what it is. But Western Christianity, because they have intellectualized it, so we have to do things. And I learned this in the early days because my prayer life was not prayer life, really, when I prayed. It was negotiations. Have you ever negotiated? I thought it was prayer, but I was negotiating. Oh, God, I don't kick the cat today. Will you bless me then? Amen. And I will do this, God, if you will do that, God. Like if I could manipulate God until I realized there was no need because all the promises of God is yes and amen. I wasted a lot of time negotiating for things he have already given me. Amen. You are already in faith. Why? Because you are in Christ. But why does it not work for me? Because you've been told something else by someone else. But now you know. Amen. Now you know I am in faith. So when you have met Jesus, it's impossible not to please him. Amen. So stop living a life where I'm trying to please God. People, they work, when we start worship many churches, let us lift up Jesus. You know what? Jesus do not want you to lift him up. He wants to lift you up. Yeah, but doesn't the Bible say that if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him? Yeah, but that's the gospel. Where is the gospel? Before the cross. Amen. As I told you a few at Easter, Jesus became the lowest of the lowest of the lowest so that he could lift us up. And it is, when you think about it, it is a bit arrogant, but little Kurt, he can lift up Jesus. What should God do without my prayer? But this is religion. And we all been brainwashed with it, so on. But the thing is, Christianity is a relationship with you and the living God, who wants you not to call him God. He wants you to call him Father. Amen. So when next time you say God, he doesn't respond. God, who's God for? I'm not your God. I'm your dad. Amen. Now, what do you call? Nurse! Do you say, nurse? Do you say, Sister Tata, come here. Say that. You know, you have to understand, you know, but you can see how far we come away from why Jesus came. And I'm telling you, if you get this right, faith subtly is not difficult. But faith became something like abstract, something that, what is faith? What, you know, trust. When you have met Jesus, remind yourself, if you remember nothing else but say that when I met Jesus, it's impossible for me not to please him. But have you noticed many of us, when we read the Word of God, we always read it from a position of that we are not good enough. It's always, I need to improve. I'm telling you, the moment you said yes to Jesus, you were made perfect. Amen. Why? Because he sees you through his blood. Your Father in heaven sees you through his blood. As I told you many times, that even when the devil sees you, he sees Jesus. It's only when you start opening your mouth, and then the devil says, oh, I know, this is not Jesus. It looks like Jesus, but, it's not Jesus. Come. That's why, but this is of the flesh, where you always think, you have to understand, what God did to us through the cross, he made you his child. You know, he put you into the God class. Do you understand? I know in the world they say, when people who have the dog, they say, oh, mommy is home. No, you're not his mom. You didn't give birth to that dog. Amen. Hopefully not. Oh, daddy is home with the dog. No. Okay, that's not how it works, okay? When God says, when God looks at you and says, you are his child, that's just not like when someone says, as a dog owner said, mom is home. Do you understand? You are put in the God class when you get born again. You are a new creation. You are a spiritual being. You know, man is a spirit who's got a soul, and lives in a body. Okay? Have you ever tried when you are just before you fall asleep, when suddenly you feel you're falling?
Yeah.
That's your spirit. Okay? That's the spirit when you come where you state where your spirit comes, because when you are here on earth, when you come back to it, but it's your spirit. Ecclesiastes talks about that your soul is linked with a silver link. I know New Age people, they talk about out of body experiences and so on. Actually, you can see it in the Bible, okay? But the thing is, when the silver link is broken, you're gone. Okay? And you don't even know it, okay? I remember, I don't know if you ever saw this movie about John Osteen, he made this about near-death experiences, and there was someone who died. He didn't even know he's died. So he said hello to everyone in the hospital, and they just walked straight through him. And then suddenly he realized, I'm dead. And when he went to look for his own body, he couldn't recognize himself. It was only because of the ring on his finger he could recognize it. Because he didn't even realize it. So there's no, you don't need to be scared of dying. Okay? When you die, it's just like you take your jacket off. Amen. And when I go, don't dare praying for me to come back. Can you imagine? You finally made it to heaven. Oh, Jesus! Ooh. Streets of gold. Sunshine every day. And then, Kurt, I'm sorry. Hannah prayed. So, but the next will be, no. But I'm back to Bradford. And then I'm not sure I will make it for the second time because I will be full of unforgiveness. Can you imagine? And then I have to go through the process again. Oh, you know, no, no. Once I'm gone, I'm gone. Don't pray. Okay. And anyone who attempts, you rebuke them. Okay. Can you imagine? And another thing, when you get to heaven and you come up to the streets of gold, Oliver, don't start putting the street on in the road into my pocket. Oh, and if I come walking down, don't say hello. Who are you? Okay, I don't know if heaven is like that. Okay, but so for he that cometh to God. Now notice this is so important here to understand. This is the condition. For he that cometh to God must believe. What is it that he must believe? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now you see something of God's nature here. He is a rewarder. Most worship is just to keep God on the good side. Okay, we better please God because, you know, just so we stay neutral. At least we don't something, but we please God, we stay neutral. You know, God doesn't want to. He says he is a rewarder. You, and he says, Mr. Condis, you must believe that, we use another word, he wants to bless you. Amen. This is the nature. But religion is always portraying a God who wants something from you. Christianity, true Christianity, is a father who wants to give you. You don't have kids just to get them to clean and do this. This is not a motivation. You don't need kids to. You tell your kids, give them karate lessons. If to wash the car. Have you started your karate lessons? Wax on. But the thing is that here you see the whole nuclear. God is a rewarder. He wants you to know that he wants to reward you. He actually says, you must believe that he wants to reward you.
Yes.
That's not a bad condition, is it? Oh, that's also a condition being a Christian. What do I have to believe? That God wants to bless me. Yes. Amen. But many of times in application, I see people, when we do worship, when we do whatever, it is more, they have a mindset of to appease God. Do you understand? But this is not what God wants. He wants you to seek him. Why? So that he can reward you. Yes. The condition, Jesus wants you to be better off when you have been with him than before you have been with him.
Yes.
Amen. Religion is the other way around. Religion wants to take from you, but Jesus wants to bless you. And I know that many people using the word, but it's not so much what we're saying. Look at their application of it, because we can say Jesus wants to bless you, but in their action, we're still portraying, applying, approaching a God who wants to take. For example, we need to give him worship. We need to give him praise. Can you imagine? That's Old Testament. In Old Testament, people's only relationship with him was external. They could not communicate with him from spirit to spirit. That's why that they had to go to a prophet, because the anointing only rested upon the prophet and the king. So when you want to hear from God, you have to go to them. That's why that they were led by signs. Gideon, he had to get a sign, because God could not dwell on the inside of him. Do you understand? And the Bible says these were all foreshadowing of what was to come. It's the shadow. The substance is that he's going to stay within us. You have more, you know, when you read about the Old Testament heroes, you have more than any of these people have. You have God on the inside. In one of the Psalms, you say, the angel says, what is man? Why? Because he's been made lower, little lower than God. In English Bible, it's translated into angels, but the original scripture said Elohim.
Amen.
Amen. So, Oliver, you go home and say, did you know you're married to a God? So, God don't do dishes. When the karate lessons work out. Okay, but think about it. You must believe it. It's such a small, you know, can you imagine any other thing? You must believe God wants to reward you. Amen. You know, it doesn't say you must do this and you must do that and you must think, you know, no, here, you must believe he wants to reward you. Amen. You must believe. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them. Amen. So you need to have a mindset, a foundation in your life. God wants to improve me. God wants to reward me. Amen. That's how we need to look at God. Not in a, oh, yeah, you know, I met Christians where, and many, a lot of the things we practice is really superstition. Oh, I have to do this. Just in case. I have to do this just in case. We call it prayer. I know someone, he never starts a car journey without praying first. And I had to give him a lift. I said, can we pray first? But what it illustrates is, I'm not secure. You are secure. Just stay in faith. Don't let the devil convince you that you are not pleasing God. You're pleasing God because you got born again. You're pleasing God because the blood has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. That is the essence of Christianity. And now I know that he will. I must believe. Okay, God, if you insist, I believe you will reward me.
Yes.
Amen. So you see here, that's where negotiation stops. He wants to. Amen. But not only he wants to, he's already done it. He can't withhold what he's already done. So now, anyway, so, and that is he a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently, there is a part of consistency, okay? We are with God 365 days a year. Can you imagine someone got married? I mean, I will stay faithful 364 days a year, but that one day I want for myself. That's not good, is it? No, diligence has to talk about something that is consistent. Okay? So what do I have to consistently believe? That he wants to reward me. Amen. What do I have to consistently believe? That I am pleasing to him. Amen. So now, verse 1:11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, my trust in God is what brings substance for things that I hope for. Amen. Now, my trust is the substance, or my trust in God is what brings substance to what I hope for. A lot of people you probably have met over the years, they say, I stand in faith for this, that, and the other. Actually, they are not in faith, they are in hope or wishing. Okay? God doesn't want you to live in hope. He wants you to live in faith. He don't want you to live in hope to be healed. He wants you to live in health. Amen. So now your trust in him is what brings substance to what you hope for. The Bible says he will give you what your heart desires. Amen. Some people say, is it a need or is it a want? And so they're thinking that if it's a need, it can be justified. If it's a want, I'm not so sure. Maybe we need to negotiate here with God. No, God wants you to give you good gifts. The Bible says, indeed, all good gifts comes down from above. Amen. All good gifts comes down from above. And what I'm telling you here, what I'm telling you now, this is what got Jesus killed. Do you know that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were not upset about Jesus healing the sick. They were not upset about Jesus delivering the demon-possessed. They were not obsessed about him feeding the poor, all these things. What they got upset about was when he said, God is my Father. Do you know what? People get upset at people who say, God wants to bless you. Oh, God had done give me this amazing thing. Is that not a bit extravagant? Oh, God gave me two houses. You can only live in one at a time. But when someone say, which is completely wrong, God gave me this illness to teach me something. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. I start preaching prosperity. It was the poor people who got upset at me. When I start preaching healing, it was the sick people who got angry with me. First time I was at this Mausuelo meeting in London in 1992, I still remember it. People were demonstrating, these were Christians, demonstrating outside, sitting in their wheelchairs, God doesn't heal today. Of course it doesn't, with that confession. Instead, we could just turn their wheelchair around, driven in. And could have got healed. But because we, you know what, you have to understand, God does not confirm us in our misery. It's funny thing, anytime a preacher falls into, or anytime a person in the Bible falls into self-pity in the Bible, God completely ignores it. And we call it being humble. We call it prayer even. No, Gideon. God says, stand up. Did you hear what I said? You know what? But religion have made a mockery out of it. God wants you to be blessed. Amen. God wants you not to be a little bit blessed, just so a little bit. He wants you to have abundance of blessing in your life. Okay? He, you know, He, can you imagine? You have a child, and we do it. We make sure they just survive with the skin of their teeth for the rest of their life. We keep them humble. That's not, you know, humility. Do you know what humility is? It is not that somewhere you throw ashes over your head and you wear clothes that is worn out 10 years ago. That's not humility. Or degrading yourself. That's not humility. That's stupidity. Humility is His word counts more than my feeling. His word counts more than my experience. His word counts more than my culture. So if He says I can have it, I can have it. Even if I think I can't have it. As I told you, when I started out preaching prosperity, my first pastor, he said, this is not for today. And I said to him, that's too late. I've already seen something. Oh, I've already seen. Then another one said, healing is not for today. I said, that's too late. I see it. But there was always many people who got upset at Jesus when he said the good news. Can you say, they didn't get upset at John the Baptist. They revered him. Have you read John the Baptist's sermon? They come and try to repent, and then say, don't you think you can get away with it? Especially turn or burn or whatever. You know, he is popular. So when Jesus comes in and say, hey, you can all become like gods. You can become, who do you think that you are? You know, you can see that is how much religious thoughts have in the term of how we applying it has got hold of our mind. That's why we need to renew it. You know, but as I said to you many times, I've seen it so many times over the years. But when someone gets diagnosed with a serious illness, when we pray. We swing plastic swords and karate chops and all sorts of things. When we get a bit tired because there's no strength in the natural. So what do we? So the next stage is we start cooking for them. Now we can cook. So if we don't die of the illness, we die of overeating. Okay. And when they pass away, they say, oh, now we're home with Jesus, let's celebrate. But if we celebrate like that, why did we pray in the first place then? And we think this is a spiritual thing, but this is nothing to do with spiritual. This is just us trying to react to something. Okay? You know, but all the years we have conducted one funeral. And that was not even a member of the church. Do you understand? Why is it like that? Because you have been ingrained in to believe that God is good. And the second thing, being consistent. You know, there have been people over the years that people have asked me to pray for, and when I ask them, do this or do this, I say, yeah, 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 but they don't hear what I'm saying. They think they hear what I'm saying. No, 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 yeah, you need to come, because I can't come because I have to share my testimony somewhere. Can you imagine your doctor says to you, take these pills 3 times a day in 2 weeks and then come back. 2 weeks later, you come back. Have you taken a pill? Yeah. I took 2 yesterday. I took 1 the day before. I took 3. I can't remember when I took 3. But I took something somewhere. But by the way, here are the rest of the pills. And then you just look at the doctor and say, why am I not better? And then you say, you didn't take the pills. I say, yes, I did. I took 1 yesterday. It was 3. I mean, you know, have you noticed, have you ever got a recipe from someone else? Have you ever eaten something and you say, oh, I want the recipe? And when you go home, I'm going to try to do the same recipe. And cooking it, and it doesn't taste the same. Have you ever tried that? Oh, we, oh, I like this food. Oh, and you, big expectation there. But have you noticed? There's not two recipes. No, there's not. You cannot copy a recipe. It's very difficult. Because have you ever seen, say, something like, when just put a pinch of chili? What is a pinch of chili? For me, it's like a whole spoon. But for someone else, it's like just looking at it. I mean, but the thing is that with the Bible is, again, but always just say, if this is what the Bible says, now, despite of what I feel, despite of what my brain tells me, I believe it. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Why? Because it's the word of the living God, and He is my Father. Even if you feel, you know, someone said once to me, when you feel the most to give up, that's the closest you are to your breakthrough. So don't quit. Now, the only reasons for why we have not seen more breakthroughs is not because our Heavenly Father holds back. It's because we have been too quick to quit. You cannot lose if you don't quit. Amen. Your breakthrough is guaranteed. Your abundance, your blessings is guaranteed if you do not quit. It's interesting that when Joshua leads the Israelites across the Red Sea, not the Red Sea, River Jordan. And now you have to understand, Joshua, he remembers when we cross the Red Sea, but he also remembers the 40 years in the desert. I don't know what, can you imagine being Joshua and Caleb 40 years in the desert? And there's only one more person who needs to die before they can cross. How are you doing? Caleb, he's coughing. We're getting close now. We're getting close now. 40 years of waiting. But anyway, so the instruction to cross with River Jordan is that the Levites, they should carry the Ark of the Covenant. And when you can, that can be your homework. So God says to them, when they put the River Jordan will split. Now, because we are reading it with hindsight, oh yeah, but it's easy to do. But can you imagine God told that to you? Something that is impossible, because you would, the Levites, they could have been thinking, walking into the River Jordan means I get wet, water wet. Mm-hmm. Not only wet, carry the Ark of the Covenant. Wet means slippery. Okay? And this is the presence of God in that box. Do you understand? This is the thought, but they didn't go by. They trusted Joshua more than they trusted their own intuition, their own common sense. Okay? So now, the funny part of it is, when the Levites, they stepped into River Jordan, do you know what the first thing that happened? The foot got wet. And when the Levites said, I knew it. Do you know that many Christians, when God tells them to do something in the Bible that goes against what is common, have you noticed when you forgive someone, you don't feel, oh, I forgive you, and so, wow, just an amazing feeling comes over my... have you ever had this thought, I don't want to forgive, it's like, if I forgive, it's like if you get away with it, isn't it? They could have said, the Levites were, Joshua, it does not work, because we have stepped into the river, as you said. You can see the river has not split. And not on top of that, we got wet. But what did we do? We carried on walking. And when the water split. Amen. I've seen many times people say, I'm trying God. I'm trying God. And when they take the first step, and then it doesn't work out the way they're expecting it to. So they're thinking once, and then they turn around, go back. But just, no, but the Levites, they didn't. Once the foot got wet, no, they just carried on. And now, it's split. And you know, the water is a metaphor for the word of God. You know, but first time I saw about sowing and reaping, what I learned by that was, I sowed and I went home with that amount less in my pocket. But I'm telling you, I was just reminded of again, because, you know, we were just singing that all our life he's been faithful. I remember when I started out in the ministry, and I had I didn't even have a disciple jeep. That's a donkey. Okay. I had to just walk. I had one pair of shoes. And the problem is that, have you noticed, shoes don't get worn out on the top. It's the sole. And these shoes, they got worn out at the bottom. So every time it rained, my feet got wet. But the problem is that on the top of it, they looked all right. And I remember, I used to meet with my pastor once a week or something at that time, and I remember, so I said something like, this thing about living by faith and living, anyway, so he said, let's pray. And when we prayed, do you know what? It was not like Gabriel came out of nowhere, showed me a new pair of shoes or whatever. I walked home from that meeting with wet feet, okay? Anyway, so now you have to understand that Pastor Frankie lives 300 miles away from me, and that's before the internet, okay? That's before anything, there's only a landline. Do you know what a landline is? Anyway, he called me, and he never calls because he's from that part of, where like Scottish people, very stingy, okay? And when he said, the only thing he said to me, do you need shoes? Do you need shoes? Do you need shoes? I said, what? All day God has spoken to me, shoes, shoes, shoes. So I said, where are my shoes? I said, oh, yeah. Now you have to understand, this is 30 plus years ago now. So I said, I will send you 50 pounds. Can you imagine what 50 pounds was for? So I still remember when I complained about when the petrol went from 29p to 30p. it's so expensive here. 30. It used to cost 29p, now it costs 30. You know, we people are so stupid, aren't we? We buy a car that costs thousands, and then we complain about 1p. we pay thousands also. The petrol price is going up. How much? 1p. It's all in your, or are you one of these people who drives to the other side of the city so that you can say 2p on a loaf of bread? Never mind you spent a pound just to get there. But I saved. Anyway, now so he said, so he sent me this. I think it was a check. Okay? And do you know what a check is? I have to check. I have to check if you know what a check is. You know what? The other day, I actually, with the check, I found some in my door. I forgot my signature. Because now signatures, face. So. You remember how you sign?
Yeah.
I forgot what my signature is. Okay. Anyway, so he sent me, and I just remember that, you know, God is faithful. But the thing is, what I learned is by faith, not by understanding. The Levites, for them to come into the promised land that God had promised them, they went through the word, and the word, they say, you know, many people said to me, how can you put your faith in this book? I say, it's not a book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the living God who wants to be my Father. Amen. You know, that most people, non-believers, you know, if you ask them, can you define a Christian? They will define that person as someone who don't do this, who don't do that, who do this. Or no, we categorize as either Bible bashers or weirdos in the world. Okay? But this is not what the Bible teaches. Is that you know, people should be able to see the goodness of God upon your life. You know, you have to understand, sometimes we say to people, they should witness. They say, no, I'm not very articulate. I can't speak and I can't this, that, and the other. I'm telling you, it's nothing to do with that. John Wesley, he was a scholar from Oxford University. God sent him to the mine, people in the mines. They didn't understand what he was saying. You know, if you were God, would you have sent the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles and the Pope, who was a simple fisherman, to the Pharisees? I would have done it the other way around. But it didn't matter, because it's not what it was. They should be a light. What does the Bible say? We are the light of the world. Just shine. Just be, oh, I'm so happy, I'm blessed. How do you say you're blessed? I'm so happy, I'm blessed. Amen. That's what Christianity, he, the only condition, you need to believe he wants to bless you. Can you imagine? Oh, this really a heavy burden. No. Oh, some people come and say, oh, they come like the whole world. I've taken the yoke of Christ upon me. No, but that yoke is not to, it's not a burden. That yoke is for guidance.
Yes.
He said, what do you say? My yoke is light. The yoke is for you. It's like when in the olden days, you know, in the very olden days, when we used to plow, they used the yoke to guide where they should plow. That's what Jesus is telling. The yoke is not about, oh, I'm so miserable. Oh, wow. He's so pious. Why? He's always miserable. So pious. You know, in the Philippines, you know, you probably still do that at Easter. They crucify themselves. Could you imagine? You know, this is religion. Oh, but I need to identify myself with Christ. Why? God don't need another crucifixion. He only needed one. Who am I to think that my suffering can make up for my sin? No, his suffering paid the price for my sin. Amen. Why am I redeemed? Because he died. Why am I free? Because he died. Why am I free? Because he died. So now, as the early church council said to the early church, don't eat animals that have died by themselves. That was basically a health issue. Okay? And no sex before marriage. That was a covenant issue. That was wrong. And then he say, and be miserable for the rest of your life. No, that's what he said. Live well. Enjoy life. We didn't even have food regulations. You could eat whatever you want. Have you ever been to people when we say grace with food, we pray so long the food is cold? We don't say grace at our home. Because if you say grace, if you close your eyes, you don't eat. First time I said grace with Jen, I closed my eyes and I opened my eyes, food was gone. She said, I grew up with three siblings. We don't close our eyes. So if in rare occasions we put it's with open eyes. Have you ever you also heard about let's pray? What do we do? Let's bow our heads. What are you looking for? He's not down there. Do you know? He's not down there. He's up there. I used to call them headache prayers. Yeah. Well, let's pray. I meant Peter. Have you ever, do you know what? Folding your hands, there's only one reference to it in the Bible. And do you know what the reference is? Laziness. Now, let's pray. Five sausages put to 10 sausages. See how much religion and customs have destroyed it. No, we Bible-believing people, He is our Father. He wants to bless me always. And remember, I will finish with this. Remember, it is impossible for me not to please God.
Amen.
Amen. If you can have that as a foundation in your life, I'm telling you, you will be more than a conqueror. And that's why nothing can separate you from the love of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Because He's in you. Can you imagine you do something? Let's say, just for the sake of example, you did some shoplifting. How can you do shoplifting? Have you ever? Oh, what is it? Window shopping. So I go out window shopping, come a whole van with windows. What did you do? Words are funny, isn't it? Do you know what the most healthy food is? Seafood. You can only see. you will get that tonight. I can see. Jerry, you will wake up 2 o'clock tonight. Stella, I got it! Anyway, but remember, this is who you are. Like, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is righteousness. That means you please God. That's righteousness. Righteousness, peace. You know, that's the word shalom. Okay? That is prosperity. That's all you can just read up on that word on its own. And what? Grumpiness? Joy. Amen.
Amen.
Nehemiah, he says, let's declare this day as holy. And the moment you and I hear the word holy, now we have to be solemn. No, he says, let's have a party.
Amen.
Let's feast. That's the biblical definition of being holy.
Yes.
This is a holy time. When we think, let's dedicate this as a holy, we think prayer, fasting. Do you want to fast? You want to when I tell you. Because when you have to eat fast food. Amen. So when I fast, I go to McDonald's. So I'm fasting. Amen. That's fast food. Anyway, so I don't get caught up in these people who fast 40 days. And you know, most people I met who, I have had to pull more people out of fast than encourage people to fast because they just become crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because they're trying still, it's still a negotiating. I keep my body in shape or whatever. No, don't focus upon yourself. The whole key of Christianity, Don't look upon yourself. Look upon him.
Yes.
Amen. Look at his bank account. Don't look at yours. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Look at his body. Don't look at yours.
Yeah.
I look like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But the devil wants you to look at you. And Jesus said, I want you to look at me. And the Bible talks about it. The Bible, the Word of God, is like a mirror. Okay? So you see yourself in this.
Yes.
Not in the glass mirror. Okay? This mirror. So you go home and say, I'm amazing. In front of the mirror. I mean, amen. Now, this is the God. He's a good God. He wants to bless you. And you are pleasing to him.
Amen.
You don't need to earn his favor. You got it. You don't need to earn his attention. You got it.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you gave the best heaven had for each one of us. You blessed each one of us with the best that heaven had. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you died so that we could live. You were broken so that we could be made whole. You were rejected so that we could be accepted. You were cursed so that we could be blessed. We thank you, Jesus. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our older brother. You are the firstborn of many brethren, Lord. Lord, grant each one of us revelation that this must not just be information, not just a thought or philosophy, but it must be revelation in our hearts, Lord. Let that seed that has been sown in our hearts today grow and create 30, 60, and 100 fold in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's receive the communion now. And...